Hello, coffee makers, not coffee takers. He is Dr. Joseph J. Burt Miller Jr. I am Alfredso, the master of Cerber Farms Nash, and we are the Cyber Coffee Hour podcast. We are two cyber experts from Mount Vernon, New York, sharing with you our experiences in the field and also the experiences of others so we can learn, evaluate, and ultimately realize that we belong in this space. The views and opinions of this show are those of the Cyber Coffee Hour and not those of our employers, professional, or personal relationships within industry. How you doing today, brother?
Doing great, man. I'm just ready to get into it. So let's get started with the first article from The Hill. And even just the title alone is a statement in and of itself. So this is written by Mr. Gordon G. Chang, dated on 12th of December of this year. So it's titled "Terrifying Hacks on Critical Infrastructure Have Arrived. America Isn't Ready." That, like, again, when I read that stuck out to me because, and as you know, like, was I when I worked on my dissertation, when I finished it back in 2021. My research at that point in time was covering the theoretical, what could happen to the United States if, you know, a critical infrastructure sector was compromised. Now we're talking about that it's here and we're not ready. And even back then, experts were stating that we were not ready for a critical infrastructure attack, and it's here. So just want to dig in a bit into this article, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this as we go along. So from the article, it says, on November 25th, an Iran-linked hacker group with ties to the Iranian state itself took control of a part of the Municipal Water Authority of Aliquippa in western Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh. Crews switched to manual systems to deliver water to two towns. The hackers entered the system through an Israeli-made programmable logic controller, or PLC, which had been successfully targeted in attacks in Israel in the past couple of months. The Iranian hackers were able to get in with little effort. Critical infrastructure in the United States contains industrial control systems that are known to be easy targets for cyber attackers. So I'll pause there for a bit and just want to take that in. So to back this up, Netherlands cybersecurity researchers in 2009 identified 26,000 industrial control systems with inadequate security measures that make them easy targets for mail event or bad actors. Alfredso, what comes to your mind when you hear that? I mean, research back then, not even of this year, going back to 2009, this has been well known that these measures were not ready. Like, what comes to your mind when you hear that?
What comes to my mind is right there with you, right? It's near and dear to my heart. And I remember we were going over the possibility in your dissertation, the scenarios that could lead to discovering these particular energy sector controllers, mind you, different sector than the water authority, but right, also interlinked or interdependent on each other. And you're right. I remember a few years ago, we used to talk about the Estonia situation with the Russians and how they took over that entire digital city and brought it down for that right, political situation. Now here we are, you know, almost 10 some odd years later with this research about black energy and now another critical infrastructure. I think the biggest takeaway too is this is more so in the U.S., right? We're seeing this particular compromise in the United States and we're kind of queued up to address it, but I don't think folks on a daily basis realize that this is reality today, right? This is what's going on now. It's happened. It's out there in the wild. And now we have to start looking at these programmable controllers everywhere they exist and a little differently to which critical infrastructures they're attached to. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this is a little alarming.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. And And we've seen previous incidents in the past in relation to industrial control systems, even going back at least 6 years ago, as you touched on with Black Energy. So Black Energy 3 is a malware deployed by Russian actor Sandworm. Now, Sandworm is a remote access Trojan designed to provide unauthorized access to desired networks. So kind of going back again, like I said, in 2009, Chinese hackers stole industrial control systems data after infiltrating the computer networks of oil, energy, and petrochemical companies in Kazakhstan, Taiwan, Greece, and the United States. getting back into the article a bit. So these aggressive cyber operations can not only take down infrastructure, but also induce societal panic. As Jen Easterly, director of the United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, put in June to the Aspen Institute. So building on CISA Director Easterly's quote, the capacity interruption or destruction of any sector will have a debilitating impact on national security, economic security, and national public health, as declared by the Department of Homeland Security and the United States State Department. Presidential Policy Directive, or PPD-21, established the 16 critical infrastructures. And just for our listeners, if you're unfamiliar, well, number one, you could find this list if you go to www.cisa.gov. But I'll list them quickly out for you. But you could read more about them on the website. So number one, the first sector is chemical sector. Then you have your commercial facilities sector, communication sector, critical manufacturing sector, dams, defense industrial base, emergency services, energy, financial services, food and agriculture, government facilities, health and public health, information technology, nuclear reactors, materials and waste sector, transportation system sector, and lastly, water and wastewater systems.
So that's it right there, right? I mean, all of those that you listed pretty much makes up majority of the municipal utility, right? Safe water drinking. But then I think, again, for our listeners, you mentioned something that I don't think, I mean, we know in our day-to-day, in our history, aggressive cyber operations against those sectors. I think I heard that, and I want to emphasize that on for our listeners, because we know what cyber operations, we heard it from Director Easterly, is the disruption, interruption, and capacity to which these facilities, or these sectors rather, run and operate, right? So the operations that they're talking about are counter to those facilities' functional operations and digital, right? So there's the physical side, what they do for a municipality, and then what they do in data and money and digital services for that particular area. So that again, you know, we've heard it in simulation, right? We've heard it in theory and research, but today it exists in reality. It exists for those that are listening in what we call cyber operations. That's a big segue into what for me a reality check, in that it is here today. We're seeing it in this particular disclosure as well.
Yeah, and as Director Easterly mentioned, as she stated, how this can induce or bring about societal panic. We've seen examples of this, right? So we've seen examples of societal panic even recently with the advent of the novel COVID-19. When we were all under a shutdown, we saw mass hysteria as we experienced, you know, just example like the long lines literally wrapped around buildings, you know, for grocery stores, you know, you had people stockpiling of like ridiculous amounts of toilet paper, paper towels, hand sanitizer, just straight hoarding everything. Hospitals were overrun with patients as healthcare providers struggled to keep up with attempting to treat, you know, infected patients while also trying not to get infected themselves. You know, this even hit home for me, you know, because as my mom, she is a healthcare professional in New York, and she saw firsthand, and, you know, unfortunately she contracted it, you know, through one of the patients, and thank God that she was able to recover. But being able to see that, with the effects of that firsthand, it was a scary thing. So, and this is just a glimpse and example of just what everyone was experiencing during this time, because again, it was new. We didn't know how to prepare, didn't know what to expect. A lot of people didn't know if it was real or not. I mean, everyone had their different opinions about it, but, and of course, as time went on, as we got more knowledge, we learned more about it, we had vaccines and what have you, and started to get a handle on it. One of the largest United States healthcare providers, Universal Health Services, fell victim to the Ryuka ransomware cyber attack, and that was linked to the Russian cybercrime group, Wizard Spider.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So, and as we just touched on about the different sectors, the 16 critical infrastructure sectors. So this has an impact to the healthcare and public sector. as it was a significant target in 2019. And that led to 764 American healthcare providers became ransomware victims. And even just kind of touching on a bit, like right now, we're seeing a lot of, you know, as it pertains to the healthcare sector, ransomware. And I think even you touched on it a bit before in our discussions where, you know, like ransomware as a service, you know, they're targeting these facilities, these institutions, and they're trying to get big payouts.
So yeah, let's back up too. Let's double tap into that societal panic. Now I can relate, right? I sat here and I just realized the sector that kind of affects other sectors for me would be food and agriculture. And during my experiences with my family, of course, this is when I was in Virginia. I'd never seen an empty grocery store in years. Right. So I take my family to the grocery store and it's decimated. It's completely empty. People are like tipping over the carts. You know, the parking lot is kind of crowded and there's a line forming. So from that anxiety, I'm like, well, what happened? Right. What happened to this grocery store? I thought it was ready to supply the area and it wasn't. So for me, when I look at the human health services and then I look at the things that around it or the sectors rather that support human health services, I think of food and agriculture. Energy, right? They need food for the patients. They need power for the facility, and right. They need water waste treatment for the medicine, right? So that right there is what we're tapping into the societal panic. If somebody doesn't know how to rationalize that and be prepared, to your point, right, for that disruption, what do we do? How do we get ready, you know, for this new mindset of cyber operations, aggressive cyber operations, and not just government and military, but even citizens, right? Now, for the first time in a few years, this is out there and citizens are able to ingest this and think, well, this is a reality. This is a thing that can happen to any of the sectors you provided, and how adversely could it affect another one? Transportation comes to mind too, you know, buses, subways, highway infrastructure, you know, toll booths, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Are we, and I say we, not government and military, but we as citizens ready for this disruption or prepared for this disruption in the United States? I would say, yeah, as a cybersecurity professional, I'm not. There's a lot that goes into some of those things when they're not available, right? When those services are not, I guess like as a cyber person or cyber professional, I'm kind of like, not all of them are not going to be impacted at the same time, right? So I think you're highlighting that the human health services also being linked to the water and waste treatment facilities as a possible disruption, right, to multiple sectors and multiple states for that matter. You know, so we that societal panic is definitely a reality. I think we should harp on the fact that it hasn't happened yet, but we should be attuned to the possibility, right? The possibility of something like that.
Right. So now, while we have another example, while it's not a cyber attack, but it did give a glimpse as to what could happen, was the Texas winter storm Uri back in 2021. You know, those listening, if you remember, this heavy snowstorm caused at least 80% of the state to be covered in snow. You know, Texas was obviously unprepared for this, and the power grid left 20 million Texans without electricity.
Wow. And that goes back to your dissertation again, too.
Yep. Yep. and also, again, it was for those listening, if you know or you don't know, this is a reminder, actually, that Texas is on its own separate power grid. So the United States comprises three electric interconnections. So you have Eastern, Western, and the Electricity Reliability Council of Texas Interconnection, or ERCOT. So that's what made outage more profound, because when Texas was hit, when that power grid was hit, they couldn't feed off to other states because they were their own power grid. They were their own source. Because each interconnection, and again, those listening, you could look this up and find all the civic states that it falls under for each connection. But there's at least six to seven states for each interconnection, I'd say. So, yeah, so when it does drive power from each state, you know, they're sharing that energy. But, like, again, Texas is like, you know, I'm good. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, this is where kind of bitchy in the butt, because now when you have a, you know, a natural disaster such as this, there was no way for them to pull any energy or try to prevent that outage or prevent the outage from lasting longer than it needed to be.
So that harkens to a side quest in my career. I have a background in disaster recovery preparation, and the appliances that are needed to be put in place to bring back these subsystems, right? And I say subsystems because they're not your traditional IT systems, right? They're, you know, these ICSs, they might be, you know, a distribution network of some sort. But listening to that and listening to the article we just disclosed, we have to think to the factor of, are these systems put in proactively for when, not just a natural disaster, because we could go back to the snowstorm that blocked up 95, right? You and I know we witnessed that 3 days, transportation was shut down, right? Central Virginia all the way out to Northern Virginia. So that's a natural disaster. Well, what happens when you have both scenarios? The natural disaster and these, well, let's just say for the sake of argument, man-made cyber operations or cyber disruptions, are we in place to have a disaster recovery plan against both at the same time across multiple sectors, across multiple states? Because to your point, you're right. Having your own grid is not enough. Having your own interconnected network or non-interconnected network with backup systems, I'm hoping, doesn't seem to be enough for a cyber situation. And it doesn't seem like, for sake of an argument, if a snowstorm comes in, or from my personal and professional experience, a hurricane, right? Hurricane Sandy a few years ago put me on arms just for IT operations. And that was well before I had an interest in cyber. So now we're saying we have the cyber need. We also need to start doing the disaster recovery planning and, you know, my favorite tabletop exercises around both natural and the man-made cyber disruptions or cyber operations.
Definitely great points. So let's take a look into the second article, which is from NPR. This is an article by Ms. Juliana Kim, dated 2 December 2023, and it's titled, "Iran-Linked Cyber Attacks Threaten Equipment Used in U.S. Water Systems and Factories." So I'll just give a little bit into the article here. So the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, said on Friday that the hackers known as Cyber Avengers have been infiltrating video screens with the message, "You have been hacked, down with Israel." Every equipment made in Israel is Cyber Avengers' legal target. The cyber attacks have spanned multiple states, CISA said, while the equipment in question, Unitronics Vision Series Programmable Logic Controllers, or PLCs, is predominantly used in water and wastewater systems. Companies in energy, food and beverage manufacturing, and healthcare are also under threat. So just taking a step back and just analyzing this a bit. So yeah, so this type of attack is, you know, is an example of the sophistication level of this type of hacker group. You know, they set their sights on every Israeli made component or device. And this is a concern when we talk about SCADA systems, and those who are unfamiliar, SCADA stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition Systems. So they're put in place to control industrial systems. When we're talking about, like, of course, this falls on the water, like all your water industrial systems, chiller plants, which provides the AC and cooling for large buildings and what have you. This is a concern because the scope and scale will continue to widen.
Yeah, and let's touch on that part, right? So in addition to these groups who have leveraged this particular SCADA controller, it sounds like the inverse of what you and I know, the countdown to zero day. Remember when that book came out? It was talking about Stuxnet and the Richmond controller facilities. But to the analysis, I want to think about the money and data and the coffee has to line up around the multi-sector vulnerability within U.S. critical infrastructures. Now, again, to harken back, I never thought about that, you know, 10 years ago. You said energy, food, agriculture, human health services are all linked to these ultrasonic PLCs in multiple sectors. Now, does PA Water Authority just supply PA or multiple counties? Sure, we can scope it down to PA, but then what about food and beverage that leaves Pennsylvania? What about agriculture that goes to Delaware, Maryland, you know, New Jersey, right? To your point too, the water and waste treatment facilities, well, we know, you and I know, and looking at a little closely now, those are what's supplying hospitals with clean water.
Mm-hmm.
So now there it is, in the same sense that we were talking about before, how these actors are like figuring out these interconnections. And it seems like, yeah, CESA is on the ball and they're paying attention to the SCADA applicability. But I think what we need to adjust our mindset to, you and I included, and for the listeners, the scale at which this multi-sector vulnerability exists today. I think right. That's something that, you know, I have to take notes on, because I didn't think that the inverse from the Stuxnet scenario might possibly exist in the United States.
Absolutely. So kind of going, from that messaging when they compromise those screens, and I know we're kind of getting, I know we want to touch into the movie, Leave the World Behind. I did see a little bit of a correlation parallel, if you will. As I mentioned, as those screens were hacked and it showed that message, yeah, you've been hacked, down with Israel. And spoiler alert for our listeners, if you haven't seen the movie, maybe you want to pause the episode right now and then come back after you see it. But there was a point in the movie where there was an attack. There was a drone. It first looked like it was blood at first glance. I wasn't sure what it was.
Pesticides or something, right?
Chemical. Right, yeah. And Ethan Hawke. So at this point of the movie, Ethan Hawke, he's going out. You know, the disaster is in full effect. Everyone is together in the house. But he goes out to try to find some help and get some more information. So he's on a mission, solo mission. And he's driving pretty much like in this remote area. He sees this big drone dropping. Like I said, it looks like blood at first sight, but it appears to be like a little, like almost like little postcards. I could best describe, like little red postcards. And as we learn, we get further in. So as he gets back to the house, meets up with the rest of the family, with everyone else. It was in Arabic, but no one could read it, of course. No one knew how to translate that except for the son. And the son looked at it and it's like, oh, down with America. And I was like, yo, what are you talking about? And he said, that's what that says. It says down with America.
Harkin point two, he knew that. He only knew that from his video game exposure, right? He only knew that he's seen that in potential video games, which, to your point, the societal panic set in on Ethan Hawke's character, right? And the family. Because notice the spoiler alert too, the cutout is the panic setting, right? You know, that societal panic of, are we being attacked? Now, the thing that comes back to the previous two articles, we as citizens might not know what's going on. You know, we don't know the sectors. We don't know what we're learning on this episode together, right? We don't know the disclosure methods or the companies impacted. So I'm right there with you. There's a parallel into, are we being attacked? What to do? How is the misinformation being disseminated? Because that was the part two, right? The pamphlets were like, what do you call it? Propaganda pamphlets. And we don't know later on in the flick, we get at Kevin Bacon's character. He's like, you know, it could be multiple guys. It could be multiple adversaries, right? You know, I had a buddy that's seen this particular dialect of Arabic when he was, you know.
Yeah, no, just back you up. He said he thought it was the Koreans, remember?
Right. And that societal panic starts to set in, right? Where is this information coming from, and are we under attack, right?
Right.
So, you know, and harking back to the episodes, I mean, I don't know how long I would think about a situation if the water gets cut off. You know, lights are out for more than 12 hours, let alone how long they were in this particular scenario, you know, movie depiction.
Yeah, and just to be clear, so when Kevin Bacon's character says, you know, why he thought, his reason as to why he thought it was the Koreans or Chinese, because he got those same pamphlets, but they were in, you know, Chinese. So now it's like this whole disinformation campaign. They drop these drones are in, you know, different areas, dropping these pamphlets in different languages. So now you can't attribute as to who's doing this, who's carrying this out. And now I would get a little bit further into that scene. Mahershala Ali's actor, he's in the car having this self-realization. He's like, he's starting to, you know, checking the boxes in his mind, like, okay, this happened, okay, this happened. Because, and the last part where, as far as he mentioned, where when one country or adversary wants to take over another, they're banking on the fact that you will commit or you will engage in civil war, because with a confusion, you're cutting off the resources. Like I said, we're talking about like satellite connections, communications. We saw like planes falling out of the sky because of that. Oil tankers were coming on shore into the beach, which I thought was pretty wild, by the way, because could you imagine you're just laying on the beach, just chilling, and then you see this big oil tanker just coming straight ahead at you. And the only one who paid attention, who was hip to it, was the daughter.
Right, and that says to her innocence, right? The GPS is probably out on that ship, right? We saw the cutback to satellite communications. We don't know the status of the personnel, right? We don't know what else is going on for them to be led astray. But then the real shock factor was, both spoiler alerts again, the airplane coming out of the sky was like, That was an incredibly shot scene, but it was also traumatic in a sense, because there was victimology. There was the second plane, right? Mm-hmm. So Master Ali, you know, he catches it, to talking about checking the boxes, right? He catches that panic and he realizes, yo, this plane is coming down. Fuel, right? We talked about chemical and petrol sectors, right? We talk about aviation and GPS. And then this other scene that caught me was transportation. Much to what we said about the Texas scenario, power being out during a snowstorm, well, Fredericksburg being out during the same kind of snowstorm on the East Coast, affected transportation. In the same sense, in the movie, natural versus a cyber, we have cars piled up, autopilot cars piled up on the parkway. Yeah. That's another sector in itself, right? So going, harking back to the NPR article too, the statement that it was Israel gave themselves a new emergency wartime powers that allow the government to step in if a company that deals with cloud storage and data services gets hacked. So that right there, for me, when you say that as a civilian, because you know you have your experience, I have my civilian experience, that's new verbiage to me. What do you mean wartime emergency? Like, are we at war? Like, when you look at the flick, right, the average person, cyber or not, is not going to know, yo, is this cyber operations now what we like to think about, and I'm concerned as a citizen, cyber warfare. Right, because you're right. Some of these precursors that affect multiple sectors, because we're in cyber, we're not really of the mindset of what that warfare looks like. And in the flick, you know, the plane coming out of the sky, that's when it became like the shock factor. Like, yo, this is an attack for me. Because yeah, the cars, I get it. Sometimes there's a bug, you know, maybe that could happen. Now the ship also escalates. It's escalating the same ticket. Okay, why is this ship here? You know, I would probably still be pretty chill. Like, you know what? Let's get out of here. Let's pack it up. Let's go get some barbecue. But now a plane comes out of the sky, and we all know the 20 years of incidents that put me on the ball in the movie was, this is the second plane,
right
the second plane, and we didn't know where else this was happening. That raises the alarms, you know, that readiness state and that societal panic has already set in, and we don't know where first responders might be. We don't know if they can get to that situation. Obviously it's too late, right? And now Master Ali's character starts to dawn that, you know, one thing that took to heart too is, was my wife on that plane? Remember the scene where spoiler alert, he sits down and Julia Roberts says, you know, say what it is, she's an adult, right? She's talking about his daughter, she's an adult, but failing to realize they have a family member that could have been on a plane,
right?
So that's when that movie went through the roof for me, you know. Just like Mr. Robot, it also tied in the realism of this particular cyber attack, right?
Yeah, it's and, you know, one thing, and as you were speaking, I think what really showed maybe the greatness of maybe of that movie, because again, I need to see it again. I love that movie so much. I gotta watch it again. But with both with all of them together in that house, it did show that dynamic of those who were informed and those who weren't, and how they reacted when these things were happening. As you mentioned, like there were different cues as to, okay, like what, you know, this is serious, where you know, like for example, like for the daughter, she couldn't get internet. All she wanted to do was just watch Friends. That was all the concern that she had. But you put that in perspective of Mahershala Ali's character. He's like, no, this is something more. There's something bigger to this. Julia Roberts' character, she couldn't make sense of it either. She just,
right.
TV's not working, okay. But, like, again, it depends on who you ask. Like, who's evaluating? And they're going to have a different perspective.
Yeah, I think Julia Roberts' societal panic set in when she tried. Remember how she was leaving the house and then you got Ethan Hawke saying, well, we make the right on the Parkway? That was a sample of her societal panic coming in because she wanted to return to normality, right? You know,
right.
Get to the closest family member in New Jersey or get to the Parkway, right? And then we saw the byproduct of that sector or that potential transportation sector was impeded. Right. So now we start to come back to the cyber side. What do we do? What can we do as cyber professionals to be in the loop and be informed and start, I guess, being in a sense of readiness for these multiple sector, multiple operations against our U.S. critical infrastructure? Right. Like, is there training for this? Do we become first responders? You know, are we already first responders? Like, what are some of your thoughts on that?
I think that's an interesting point because I think it actually speaks to how, because I think with any agency, company you work in, you're going to have to do the annual cybersecurity training. You got to do it every year or they're going to turn off your access. But I think this shows how you need to take it seriously. It's not just something you just check the box and again, you know, you're good for the year. Like, no, like these are real world scenarios that could happen. And then when it does show up in your face, you need to act appropriately. So that's what kind of did it for me. It did show, you know, just again, it was like, who's evaluating, who's looking at this, like who you're asking when it comes to these different cues that were happening within the movie. But you could apply it to, of course, to this real world, like what's happening now, like just paying attention of the different things that happen and also seeing just how much of an impact when one of these sectors go down. When we're talking about the protection of our interests within space, you know, of course, and we're talking mainly like satellites protection because we do rely heavily on communications, you know, from our GPS, which GPS, of course, that comes from our satellites in space. If that's compromised, a lot of things are affected as it showed because it gave a glimpse, it gave an example of what happens when those critical communications are cut off. Like I said, the oil tanker, the planes, these different examples across and again they were not small things. As we talked about earlier, you know, the incapacitation of like at least two or three of these critical infrastructure sectors, that can cause mass panic, mass hysteria, because it can do the damage that it will do is so grand, is so great. And depending on which one you attack, especially if you're talking about, let me paint a picture like this. You know, we've all experienced like a power outage in our house from time to time. Right. You know, it stinks. It's an inconvenience. You might turn on, you know, get some candles or whatever till the power comes back on. Now, imagine if the power never came back on.
Right.
You know, right.
Who do you go to? I mean, so to your point, right? Are there teams for those disruptions today? I mean, we saw the EPA responded to this situation in partnership with CISA, but do they have folks that come out and assess? Do they send the folks out to assess these particular controllers, or is it a partnership with the Water Authority? And then going off our experience, that outage has an SLA, right? Mm-hmm. To your point, like, you know, is it 4 hours? Is it 8 hours? Is it 12 hours? Or is it 12 weeks? Mm. Right? Like, how do we know? And then when I say we, I'm not talking about us as cyber professionals, I'm just saying just an everyday citizen, how long do we anticipate these outages? And are we ready in position, I like to say, from these authorities to say, hey, we can assist the authority to bring it back online, or we can be prepared in a disaster recovery plan to back up and fail over, right? I don't think I've heard that conversation from either of these articles. So my curiosity is piqued as just a cyber guy, right? Just a cyber professional. Like, hey, you know, where is that plan to bolster or, you know, mitigate, I like to say, the outage? Because 4 hours, yeah, I get kind of, you know, my kids get kind of cranky when there's no internet for 4 hours, right? 12 hours, now we're kind of like, you know, do we have water? Do we have additional food? You know, that day would be, you know.
Kidding me?
Day would be on the phone. Like, hey, man, you know, what's up?
No, you're absolutely right, because the power goes out. You're talking about loss of electricity. You're not be able to your refrigerator, not able to keep your food cold. After a while, you know, depending on the efficiency of your refrigerator, how long it can maintain. You don't want to keep opening and closing that fridge because you want to try to keep it as cold as you can. But after a while, man, if it doesn't come back on, you're going to start worrying about food spoilage and this and that. And you start thinking about, you start going into survival mode, as I say, okay, I don't have, my food is starting to spoil, especially we have the dynamic of those who have kids, small children. Maybe you may have, even if we're talking about infants or babies, you know, how are you going to get the formula and this and that, and be able to prepare it appropriately if you don't have, you know, these things that I would say we take for granted, you know, our you know, gas, our water, electricity, those things we just expect to be on, you know, at moment's notice. But then what happens when you turn on a switch and nothing comes on, or you go in the fridge and everything's melted away?
So that's the realism. That's the societal panic. So checking the boxes, I like how you said that too. Checking the boxes, this is what Julia Roberts was doing in the flick. So that's the apex of the societal panic. And being inside of the right mindset to check those boxes, like Masr Ali did, and we need a combination of that in our everyday, I guess, new reality, if you want to say, of cyber warfare. I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, too drastic or whatever, but that for me, even as in this industry, that was kind of like a reality check. Like, I can't be in that panic state, and I need to start even preparing personally and professional for some of these mindset changes, right? You know, we go through this again. I hearken on disaster recovery because that's also near and dear to my heart, but that's not enough either, right? So we gotta kind of play back on, if it is one of these particular cyber operations, what else do we need to get ready for in this field, in cybersecurity? Right. You know, I don't want to think to the likings. We're not in that first responder phase yet, but there is definitely cross-trainable soft skill set and cyber skill set that I'm starting to notice now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this is good stuff, man. I'm very interested. And I know we'll hear more about this as, you know, time goes on. I'm sure we will revisit this later on. So, again, as we get ready to close, keep paying attention. We'll share the links in the show notes for these articles. I think these are very good reads. We do recommend for you to read these to keep yourself informed, and also go see the movie. Leave the world behind on Netflix.
It's required watch.
There you go. Yeah, required viewing. You gotta watch it.
Right.
And also too, now you got me thinking about like good cyber shows. Oh, also my favorite, Mr. Robot. Gotta watch that.
Oh, same.
You gotta put that on your list.
Same.
What? Yeah. And quickly, before we close, Fraser, like, I know you got a good book collection. Could you just recommend a couple of books that you feel should be required?
With this one, I mean, first of all, the book that the movie is based on, like, I like to do that. I like to research on my research, as we know. And then one that comes to mind a few years before, well, not a few years, but before the pandemic spiked, it was called This is the Way They Tell Me the World Ends. It's by Nicole Perloff, and she closes her book when the pandemic picks up.
I have that. So
that's a must. That's a must read, because now it harkens back to, that was only what about to be 5 years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago, and now here we have, you know, 5 years later of that, like you said, a pandemic. We have a cross relatable emergency situation, right? And the preparedness for both now, you know, this seems like they're interchangeable. For right now, yeah, those would be required together. I wouldn't recommend anything else. I mean, there is. Well, actually, that's a lie. Practical Doomsday. That's the last one I'm going to put out there. Practical Doomsday is a guide for users of the end of the world. Again, not raising too much of alarm, but that would be the trifecta read as a cybersecurity professional.
Okay.
It's actually sitting up here on my shelf.
There you go. There you go. Well, you heard it here first, everyone. This is a wrap to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Please send us your comments. Definitely, share to your friends. And also, give us feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know things that we can improve on. We're always looking to work on that. So we're working to get better as we go on. So, and it's all an effort to give the highest quality content for you to consume. So again, as we get ready to close out, Fredzo, great job, sir.
Absolutely.
Everyone out there, thank you for listening.
Tuned.
And we'll be back on for the next one. Later.